Lord, we thank you that we have already sensed your fresh freedom coming from your presence, new peace. Lord, we thank you that, Lord, we know that each day your mercies are new to us. And Lord, therefore, we are recipients of your mercy step by step, moment by moment. Father, as we look to you through your word, we ask you to speak to us. Lord, we declare that our hearts are open, that, Lord, our minds have been renewed. And Lord, we ask you, therefore, to deposit your word inside of us, your word that will bring forth fruit into our lives. Lord, we ask that you might edify us. And Lord, we pray that in all things that Christ will be glorified. In Jesus' name we pray. And all of God's people said, amen. And amen. It's good to see you all here. Some of our folks are back, and it's good to see them. This morning, I want to share, it's a short series that I'm calling Inner Conflicts of the Believer. Inner Conflicts of the Believer. I should really call it Inner Conflict of a Believer, because it's really my inner conflict that I am pushing on you. Hoping that I'm not so strange and that you can identify with it. but it's Inner Conflicts of the Believer. This first part, I just want to share on fear and presumption. Fear and presumption. You know, this week, normally with all of this COVID crisis, I've been going to Walmart earlier in the day, like 8 o'clock, you know, just to get there before everybody else, assuming that they have sanitized the place overnight, you know, to get there and get my stuff before the place gets too crowded. But this Thursday, I planned to go, but I also had to take my vehicle to get it serviced because we were planning to go to Kansas City. And that service time is 10 o'clock, and it's up in St. Robert. So I couldn't go in the morning. I didn't have enough time. And I would have gone Friday morning, but then there was a forecast for storms. And so I thought, okay, I'll just go 1 o'clock in the afternoon, as I used to do before all this crisis took place. And I was a little bit in shock because I'd forgotten that so many people come out at 1 o'clock to go to Walmart. It's like, where have you people all been? It's like, come on. And so, in the midst of this, I started reflecting on some of these things that I'm going to share this morning in terms of the inner conflicts. Because when you're in some of those circumstances, at least me being in those circumstances, it caused me to start to reflect internally on different things. And so one of the things I want to look at is first, fear versus divine wisdom. That inner conflict of fear versus divine wisdom. Normally we talk about fear versus faith, or fear versus the love of God. But most of us are able to identify, you know, fear versus the love of God, that perfect love drives out all fear. Most of us are able to recognize faith versus fear. But when it comes to this divine wisdom thing, in the midst of this crisis, am I fearful? I wasn't fearful to go there at 1 o'clock. And I'll share a little bit more about my experience there during that time. But it dawned on me that for me, it might be divine wisdom to keep going earlier in the morning. You see, I'm not afraid to go at one. I don't mind interacting with people. But as I thought about what's happening and the information that's out there, I'm thinking, you know, for you, Joe Campbell, it's perhaps wise for you to go early in the morning since you can. And so that's how I come up with this idea of fear versus divine wisdom in the midst of this pandemic. What is wisdom versus what is fear? And I think it's important. I call it inner conflicts of the believer. It's something that happens internally within us. It's not for me to assess what's happening inside of Chris. It's for me to assess what's happening inside of me. It's between me and the Lord. And I'm sharing it within that context. God has not called us to try and assess if you are in fear. That's between you and God. Or if you are in wisdom, that's between you and God. It's for me to assess that as I walk through this journey. And so that's the background behind it. The Bible encourages us as believers not to be fearful. The psalmist in Psalm 27 verse 1 says, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked advance against me to devour me, It is my enemies and my foes who will stumble and fall. Though an army besiege me, my heart will not fear. Though war break out against me, even then I will be confident. And in 2 Peter 1, verse 7, Paul says to Timothy, God has not given you a spirit of fear, but of love, power, and of a sound mind, or self-control, or a disciplined mind. So throughout the scriptures, you'll find that there's nowhere where it says that God has given to the believer this spirit of fear. It is something that comes sometimes out of our own human frailties. It's something that comes many times from the devil himself. He says to Timothy, it's a spirit of fear that comes. That's what's preventing Timothy from fulfilling his calling in the Lord. There are people older than Timothy in the church. And Paul had left Timothy there to put some things in place and to teach. And Timothy felt intimidated by the people that he had to minister to. And Paul said to Timothy, that's not of God. And so the first thing we need to realize is that fear is not of God. It's not from God. What God gives us is peace, is love, it's joy, it's faith. He doesn't give us this fear, this paralyzing type of fear. But fear has this way of functioning. It focuses on the facts, but then it starts to distort the facts. Facts are important. So the Lord had sent out, not the Lord, Moses sent out 12 spies into the promised land. And the 12 spies came back with a certain type of report. And I'm going to read from Numbers chapter 13, verse 27. Numbers 13, 27. They gave Moses this account. We went into the land to which you sent us, and it does flow with milk and honey. Here is a fruit, some big, heavy grapes. Good stuff. But the people who live there are powerful, and the cities are fortified and very large. We even saw descendants of Anak there. Nice factual information. And they really should have stopped there. That's the information. Now you need to interpret the information. Now you need to decide, what is God saying to me in terms of this information, in terms of these facts? 10 of these spies decided to allow fear to enter into their hearts, and then they start to distort things. So later on in Numbers 13, they said this, Numbers 13, verse 33. We saw the Nephilim there, the descendants of Anak come from the Nephilim. We seem like grasshoppers in our own eyes, and we became the same to them. Now they're starting to distort things. So we need, as a believer, I need to know the facts, that there is a virus out there. It's infectious. Some people die from it. I don't know how many. I'm not here to try and, you know, figure out how many. All I know is that enough people have died from it that I know it's not something to be played around with. Those are the facts. How we respond to the facts will depend upon our relationship with the Lord. It's important to know that any circumstance, it's the individual and the relationship with the Lord that becomes important. That the word of the Lord to me might be different than the word of the Lord to you. If you just had heart surgery, then it's not good for you to do too many physical stuff, you know. It's wisdom for you not to do too many physical stuff. While for somebody who doesn't have heart surgery, it might be good for them to start do some physical exercise. If you get what I'm saying. So it's important for us not to try and put people into our little perspective, but to give people the freedom to walk before God and to hear God for themselves and to allow that word of the Lord to settle in their spirits so that fear doesn't come and control them. And so what happened here for these spies, 10 of them allowed fear to come in and control them. And fear as a way of paralyzing people. And I put here in the notes that fear does not solve tomorrow's problems. How many know that? I put here just before that anxiety can be a manifestation of fear. So Paul said to the church in Philippi, be anxious for nothing. So anxiety can be a manifestation of fear. You're anxious that you can't get enough food, so you go to the Walmart and empty all the shelves, all the stuff off the shelves. You know, that could be a manifestation of fear. You think you won't get any food next time, so you're going to pack up everything, pack up all the toilet tissue, rather than just taking what you need for now. So Fear distorts the facts and leads to people acting in ways that they would normally act. And so it doesn't solve tomorrow's problem. What it actually does is create more problems for today. Isn't that interesting? Here we are in anxiety and it creates more problems for today. It creates more issues. And we all know that fear even affects us physically. It can affect your blood pressure, your heart rate, everything. So when we see the facts, we need to bring the facts before the Lord and say, okay, Lord, these are the facts. What do you require of me? How should I respond to these facts? Fear denies God's nature and commitment to us. The psalmist David says in Psalm 23, even if I walk, yea, do I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Even if I'm in the midst of death, death is all around me. He says, I shall not fear. And why is that? God is with me. He's not denying that he's surrounded. He's saying, yeah, I'm surrounded. He actually goes on to say, he prepares a table for me in the presence of my enemies. Yeah. So he's saying, I'm surrounded by my enemies. I'm not denying that. I'm not burying my head in the sand. Yeah. But he's saying that in the midst of that, God is with me. If God is with me, it makes a world of a difference. Yeah. Fear takes away our peace. And so that's why it's important for each individual to be able to assess it. Am I losing my peace? Am I becoming anxious? Two people can respond in the same way, but one's responding out of their sense of what God wants them to do, and one's responding out of fear. So Elijah got a word from the Queen Jezebel that tomorrow, this time, you're going to be dead. And Elijah responded with fear. He ran away. David decided to leave Israel and go into Palestine among the Philistines for a while because of Saul. David wasn't fearful of Saul. In fact, David cut off a part of Saul's garment at a certain time. He wasn't fearful, but he realized, you know what, this man is crazy. And so in the wisdom of God, David said, I'm going to have to leave. You see, so two people leave, but one is leaving because they sense this is what God wants me to do, and one is leaving because they're doing it out of fear. And so it's important for each person to know, what is God saying to me? If I have some health conditions, it might be God's word to me to stay home. You see what I'm saying? And you who might be young and you're 25 and active, it might be God's word to you, you can go. You see? And both persons can be responding based upon God's word and not based upon fear. And that's why it becomes an inner conflict, because each person has to say, Lord, what are you saying to me? I can't respond by what you have said to Joe Campbell. I can't respond by what you have said to Kenny Rogers. I have to respond based on my relationship with you. Wisdom accepts the facts, but chooses to focus upon God's word and God's character. You see? So wisdom doesn't deny the facts. The facts are this. But then it says, Lord, what is your word to me? Lord, I know you are with me no matter what. I know that you are not going to leave me nor forsake me. And so now I can trust you, Lord, to lead me. Wisdom comes from God. Divine wisdom I'm talking about comes from God. It's not just by listening to the news people. It comes out of a relationship with God. God speaks a word, and it's a word that helps us to know what we need to do. A word of wisdom. And James says, if any man lacks wisdom, he should ask of the Lord who gives liberally. God realizes we're going to face all sorts of circumstances, and he's saying, you're going to need some wisdom, so come to me and I'll give it to you. So when you're not sure what to do, Go to the Lord and say, Lord, what do you require of me? How should I respond in this circumstance? How should I respond to this situation? And allow God to give you his word so you can respond knowing that this is what God requires of me. So I was in, now let me read the scripture before I tell you. James chapter 3, verse 13. James 3, verse 13. Who is wise and understanding among you? Let them show it by their good life, by deeds done in humility that comes from wisdom. So James is saying we have to get some wisdom to know how to live, how to act. Verse 17. The wisdom that comes from heaven is first of all pure, then peace-loving, considerate, submissive, full of mercy and good fruit, impartial and sincere. Peacemakers who sow in peace reap a harvest of righteousness. So the divine wisdom that comes to us brings peace. Okay, you know, this is what God requires of me. So you're acting now and you're acting with peace in your heart. So I was in the line to check out in Walmart. Two guys were behind me. You know, when I go in the morning, there's nobody else in the line. But this time of the day, it's just crazy all over. And Walmart feels that they can tell people which way they should walk in terms of one way, and the people just ignore it. So here I am in the line, and two guys are talking to each other. I guess they know each other, but one is right behind me, and I don't know where he has been all these weeks. But he seemed to have been under a rock or something, as if he doesn't know what's happening. He bought a little bike for a child, and his bike is up against my cart. I'm at the belt, putting all my stuff. He's searching for a divider to put his stuff on the belt behind mine. And I'm thinking, what's wrong with this guy? I have my beautiful mask that Pat made for me. Oh, it's here in my pocket. It's hard to worship with a mask on, as many of you have discovered. So I have my beautiful mask, nice American flag. Not saying that the country has muzzled me or anything, just proud of this country. So I have my mask on, these two guys have on no mask. And so I'm wondering, what's going on here? And I'm trying to put some of the stuff that they have bagged up for me into my cart. And before I know this guy, as I put the stuff in and came back, he's like right beside me. And I'm like, what's going on here? So I'm there trying to figure out, I'm looking at the cashier just thinking that she might say something, but she's like, I don't know what to say. So, you know, Joyce, there are times when you'd rather keep quiet.
I try really hard.
And before I know it, I heard my mouth speaking. And I'm saying to the person, you need to back up. But because I have on my mask, I'm thinking that perhaps he doesn't understand. So he's looking at me puzzled. So I repeat it, you need to back up. At which point his friend understood what's going on and says, he looks at his friend says, he wants his 6 feet. I'm not fearful, but I think that some things are wise, you see. And perhaps for that man's own sake, he needs to realize what's going on. As I said, I don't know where he has been all this time. I mean, Walmart has done their best to put all sort of blue lines and stuff telling you what is 6 feet, where the square is where you must stand. But for some reason, he doesn't even see those things. So I'm sharing this to help us to see that, as they say, the struggle is real. The inner conflict is real. And so I have to find this place of peace before the Lord, knowing I'm acting based on what God has said. It's wise to go by God's word. The Bible tells us that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. That's where it starts, divine wisdom. Out of our relationship with God. And it involves having this trust and confidence in the Lord that if he says something, it's for my benefit. And I can't, it's not a one-size-fits-all type of thing. Thank God for that. But this wisdom from heaven produces a humility. That's what James says. That's what the Bible says. It produces humility because we realize we are really dependent upon God to lead and to guide us. And we don't understand a lot of things, most things we don't understand. And so we need God's wisdom to know how to live this life, how to interact, when to step back, when to step forward, when to say something, when to keep quiet. We need God's wisdom. So James says there in James 3:13, he says, by deeds done in humility that comes from wisdom. It's a humility that comes out of the wisdom they get from God. It's not by any studying or academic achievement. It comes out of the relationship with God. And it helps us to know when to speak and when not to speak. The writer of Proverbs says, even a fool appears to be wise when he keeps his mouth shut. And so we need to know when to speak and when not to speak, when to say things and how to say things. Proverbs 16:23 says, the hearts of the wise makes their mouth prudent and their lips promote instruction. Proverbs 28:26 says, those who trust in themselves are fools, but those who walk in wisdom are kept safe. So if we trust in our own abilities and our own knowledge and whatever, the Bible says you're a fool. We need God's word, God's direction to know how to act. Amen. And what might be appropriate in one circumstance and situation might not be in another. And so that's where they have this, as I say, inner conflict between fear and wisdom. And we have to assess. Fear brings anxiety. Fear causes us to panic. The wisdom of God brings peace and causes us not to panic, because you know that God is with you and will lead you through. And so I share that to encourage us as you go through the next several days and weeks to stop and say, Lord, give me wisdom. Help me to walk in wisdom. Help me not to respond by what I hear the people saying all around me. Because who knows what is true and what is not true? Who knows what facts are being distorted? But I need to hear from you, Lord. You know, back there in Numbers, the two who brought back the good report and says, God is with us. That's basically what they said in Numbers 14. God is with us, therefore we don't need to fear. He will bring us into the land. They weren't denying that there are some big guys there, but they were saying that because God is with us, he will lead us step by step by step. Amen. And so it's important for us not to deny that this virus is there. It's not a hoax. I'm sure you realize that by now. Things might be distorted. I'm not denying that possibility. But you and I need to hear God's word to know how to respond to each circumstance and each situation. Then we have the second one, which is presumptuous, being presumptuous versus having faith. When am I being presumptuous and when do I really have faith? You see, presumption comes when we take a scripture or a promise out of context and then expect God to fulfill it. You know, who was it? Was it Kenny? Or somebody was talking this morning about playing around with snakes. You know, Mark 16. Mark 16 says, you know, you can pick up snakes and it won't hurt you. And some people do that in their services. I'm not one of those, because I believe that's presumptuous. I believe you're taking something out of context. The context there is you taking the gospel and you end up in some circumstances where, you know, there are snakes, you can believe God to keep you safe. But I don't think God was saying, go and find you some snakes and come and play with them. Amen. That's not wisdom, that's being unwise. I was going to see, you people are so used to saying certain things. I know we're being recorded, and as as Rusty said, it's going to be on the internet and be out there for years. So I'd rather say you're not being wise by playing around with snakes. That's taking the thing out of context. That's what the devil tried to do with Jesus. And he says, throw yourself down, because the word says he'll give his angels charge over you. And Jesus says, no, you don't put the Lord, your God, to test. Amen. That's what presumption does. Takes a verse or a promise out of context and try to draw God's hand to fulfill it. So we have to battle with this idea of presumption versus having faith. We are presumptuous when we don't wait on God's timing. God might have said something, but he has a timing to fulfill what he says. For the children of Israel, the spies back there in Numbers 14, they didn't respond when God wanted them to go, and God says, okay, you're going to stay here for 40 years. And then they decided that they are going to go into the land. They're going to go up. And at the end of Numbers 14 there, according to the NIV, it says they acted in a presumptuous way going up, and they were defeated because they missed the timing of the Lord. I put here that presumption is based oftentimes on our own personal desires without a witness from the Lord, a rhema word from the Lord. So the devil came to Christ and says, you're hungry? Turn these stones into bread. To meet his own personal desires rather than waiting on God's timing and the way God wants to fulfill the need that you have. Because God gave us these needs and he will fulfill these needs. You and I need to wait on him to figure out how are you going to fulfill these needs. So that's what presumption does. It doesn't wait on God's rhema word. It doesn't wait on God's timing. It's actually based upon formulas. Faith is based upon relationship. Presumption is based upon formulas. So the sons of Sceva, they saw the Apostle Paul ministering to people in Acts chapter 19. And they figure, oh, I've got no formula. All I need to do is to say in Jesus whom Paul preaches, and this man will be set free, these demons will leave. But they had no relationship. That's presumption. If you have no relationship, it doesn't work. What God has called us into, he has called us into relationship, not into formulas. And so the seven sons of Sceva got a nice beating from one man because they were trying to function off formulas, presumption, rather than out of relationship with the Lord. And that becomes important in this COVID time, that God has called us into relationship. And when you're in that relationship, there's a level of safety that comes. But don't just one go out there doing all sort of stuff because, well, everybody else is doing it and trying some little formula here or there. You could put yourself in danger. And so that's where you have the presumption versus faith. Faith is tied to God's rhema word. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Faith is linked to relationship. So it says of Abraham that he counted God as faithful. He had proven God has been faithful over the years. He walked with the Lord. He was a friend of God. He had a relationship with God. And that's why he could look at himself and say, I'm not denying the fact that my body is good as dead. These are the facts. But out of my relationship with God and what God has said, I know God is going to do this. He's not being presumptuous because he has a relationship. He's not being presumptuous because he has a word from the Lord. Now, he did misstep at a time trying to use Hagar instead, missing the timing of the Lord. But he eventually came back to wait upon the Lord. That's what faith does. It's by faith and patience that we inherit the promises. Oh, wow. Who came up with this 1 hour of power thing? Faith focuses on Christ and not just the circumstances. So you have the story of Peter and the other disciples in the boat, and Christ comes walking on the water. But Peter knows enough not to be presumptuous. So Peter says, Lord, bid me come. If you speak the word, I know you will fulfill it. Yes. Presumption would be to jump out of the boat and say, Lord, I thought that since you are doing it, I can do it too. You see? And so again, it comes back to this relationship that you and I have been called into with the Lord. Yeah. We are called to live by faith and not by sight. So you and I have to be in constant relationship with the Lord, hearing from God, knowing what God wants us to do, acting at the right time to fulfill God's will and purposes in our lives. And so once Peter heard the word, he could step out and walk. Because the word, when God speaks his word, he will fulfill it and miracles will occur. But then we all know the story with Peter. Because the faith will always focus on the Lord, not upon the circumstances. If you start to look on the circumstances, as Peter did, you're going to start to sink. If you start to keep counting how many people are dying and all sort of stuff, it's going to affect you. And I'm not saying be ignorant, but I'm saying don't focus upon it. Be aware, but don't focus. There's a difference. Focus on the Lord. Focus on your relationship with him. Focus on what he's saying to you. When he tells you to go here, go here. If he tells you to stay home, stay home. Yeah. Amen. Amen. It's you and the Lord walking this journey. So Sean could go to North Carolina because he sensed God wanted him to go. But if God don't call you to go to North Carolina, stay where you are. It's important. And it's important for me to give you the freedom to do that and for you to give me the freedom to walk with God based on my relationship with the Lord. Amen. So last scripture, because I've gone beyond the time. It's Philippians 4, coming back to that beautiful scripture that Paul wrote to the church. Philippians 4 from 6 to 8. It says, do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation by prayer and petition and with thanksgiving, present your request to the Lord. So don't allow anxiety and fear to control your life, but instead go to your God and Father. Pray through. Seek the Lord. Because as you seek him and you pray through the next verses, and the peace of God, which surpasses our intellect, will keep our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus. That peace guards our heart. It protects us. But it comes out of a relationship with God. And so you can see me do stuff and you think, well, if he can do it, I can do it. I might have prayed through and gotten God's peace. And so it's important again. And then Paul says, you know what? Focus on what is true. He says, think on these things. Philippians 4 verse 8. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true. Focus on whatever is true, not just the facts. The facts might be that you have an illness, you have this or whatever. But focus on what is true, that God is a healer, God is a deliverer, God is not going to abandon you, he's not going to leave you alone. Focus on what is true, that's what Paul says. Think on that. Whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think on such things. Have such things occupying your mind. That's what Paul is saying. And that's the way to live, rather than giving way to anxiety and fear. When you sense it coming, because it will come, we all know that. Then you and I know have to go into that place of prayer and pray through until the peace of God comes and then decide, I'm going to discipline my mind, as Paul said to Timothy. God has not given me a spirit of fear, but of love, power, and a sound mind. I'm going to choose to think on what is true. Yeah. I'm going to choose to think on what is noble, what is right, what brings glory and honor to my God. Let us stand. We'll continue the series, hopefully next time. Because there are so many inner conflicts that we all go through. And I think it's important for us to talk about them. So we realize that we are not weird or strange or unspiritual. We all go through these inner conflicts. The Hebrew boys went through it and they said to the king, listen, king, even if God don't deliver us from this fire, we're still not going to bow. So it's not like they were running to embrace fire, but they were like, no, I still have to believe God. And God proved himself by being with them in the midst of the fire. So let's just bow our heads this morning. And one of the key things we need in this time is this divine wisdom from God. If any man lacks wisdom, let him pray and ask God, and God will give this wisdom freely. This wisdom brings humility. This wisdom brings God's peace. This wisdom oftentimes is based upon God's word. And so as you are here in this place this morning, back in the old time days, we'd call people forward and lay hands on them. Remember those old time days? Now I'm going to urge you to look across your row and see who's there, and just spend a couple of minutes praying for the people across your row. You can pray for yourself when you leave here, but pray for the people across your row. Just picture them in your mind and utter a prayer for the persons across your row. Let's just take a moment or two and do that. Thank you again for your grace and your goodness.
Thank you, Lord.
And Lord, for those who might be sick, who might watch this broadcast, Lord, we pray that by your Spirit you might touch them and heal and restore. Lord, for those who suffered all sort of aches and pains, headaches, back pains, all sort of aches and pains, Lord, rebuke those pains and command them to be gone in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Lord, for those who are suffering all sort of ailments,
Lord.
Father, who have got that bad report from the doctor, Lord, the cancerous report, Lord, this morning we rebuke cancer and command cancer to die in the name of Jesus Christ. Lord, we release your healing virtue to touch them even now in Jesus' mighty name.
Thank you, Lord.
And Lord, as we leave this place, oh God, we go with you. And Lord, we all crave, oh God, a more intimate walk with you. Lord, we thank you that you delight in fellowshipping with us. And so, Father, I pray that this week, oh God, each of us might sense a closer walk with you, might sense your presence even more. And Father, your word might become even more real to us.
Thank you, Jesus.
And that, Father, indeed, our faith might grow. And our understanding of your plans and your purposes for our lives might increase. And that, Father, we might grow from faith to faith, and from one level of wisdom to another level of wisdom, in Jesus' name.
In Jesus.
And all of God's people said,
amen.
And amen. Thank you for coming.